I didn't think Ken wanted me to preach all night long, so I was wondering why he didn't give that. Actually, we had a very, very good men's business meeting today. We got an awful lot accomplished. There's really nothing to share, though, with the congregation. It was just cleaning up a lot of the other things that we had been talking about for a long time. But I assure the congregation, the men's business team still continues to work for the best interest of this congregation and the best interest of the Lord. And we encourage any of our men who feel like they would like to start coming to that meeting to please do so. But I really don't have anything new to mention for my meeting today. We did receive a thank you note from one of Joyce Salinas's sisters. She was the one that visited here today. She is the one, you remember, is legally blind. She came to eat lunch with us. Very, very sweet and outgoing lady. She wanted to thank us for all the prayers that were spoken on her behalf. And she's doing better. I told her God is good, and she said all the time. So we certainly were delighted to receive that. When I started my sermon this morning and I looked at my notes, right in front of me was our text from Ephesians chapter 3. And then I began my sermon. And for some reason, I said Philippians chapter 3. And I knew I had done something wrong because I see all of these Bible pages turning and all of that. Ephesians chapter 3. I guess it's too late now. But anyway, that was the scripture this morning. I want to tell you a story that is found in Acts chapter 8. And I'm very confident that that is where it is found. In Acts chapter 8, we find that there is a faithful preacher named Philip, and he is preaching the gospel in Samaria, and let me add, he was very successful in that. But God had something special for him to do, so God sent an angel, and the angel told Philip to go south to the road that leads toward Gaza from Jerusalem. And that's exactly what Philip did. And while there, he noticed an Ethiopian nobleman, an official, the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, and he saw that he was reading the Bible. So he finds, or we're told, that he had gone to Jerusalem in order to worship God. He was reading the Bible, or he, excuse me, he was reading a scroll because the Bible had not been codexed at that particular time. Excuse me. So he draws up close to the chariot and he hears what the official is reading. And he makes a very, very valid question. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, brethren, can you remember back when we were in school? We had to understand what the teacher was saying. We had to understand their words. We also had to understand the meaning. So Philip pulls up close to the chariot. He hears the nobleman reading from Isaiah, and he asks him, "Do you understand?" And a very sincere and honest response is given. How can I understand? Unless someone teaches me, or unless someone guides me, or unless someone helps me with this understanding. And at that point, he invites Philip to join him in the chariot. Now, the portion of scripture that that the nobleman was reading from reads this way. He was like a sheep being led to be slaughtered. He was silent like a lamb is silent. While its wool is being cut away, he was shamed and treated unfairly. And the official asks Philip, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he this lamb that is silent before his shearers? Or is he talking about someone else? And from that very point, Philip preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, brethren, I believe the first point I want to make from this story is this. It doesn't matter where we start, we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're reading from the book of Isaiah, if we're looking at the New Testament, regardless of where we start, we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they continue, at a certain point, the official says, "See, here is water. Why can I not be baptized?" Now, you're probably reading down through there, where did Philip say anything about baptism? Where did Isaiah the prophet say anything about baptism? Well, Philip must have, because that's part of the good news. Hearing, repenting, confessing, turning away, belief, and being baptized is part of the plan by God. Now, that brings us down to verse 37. Let me make a few comments about verse 37. Depending on the translation you are reading, verse 37 might be there and it might not be there. There are some translations that jump completely over verse 37, and a lot of them, though, in honesty, will footnote it there at the bottom of the page. Now, if you're reading the King James like I read, or the New King James, or one of those translations, you will see that when the nobleman said, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip says, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And then we also read where the nobleman says, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So notice your testament. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. I personally believe it happened. I believe that's why the Lord has it in the Bible. Now back to our story. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop. He wanted Philip to baptize him. And another important point, both of them, both Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water and Philip baptized him. He baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. He baptized him by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's the way the Bible tells us to do it. And then when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of God catches away Philip. The nobleman sees him no more, but the Bible says he goes on his way rejoicing, filled with unspeakable joy. Now, brethren, the story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, or the nobleman, or as I call him, the official, is one of the most loved and one of the most used conversion stories in the whole book of Acts. For a number of reasons. First of all, it's the easiest to use. And it contains all the steps that a person needs to go through in order to be saved as the eunuch was. It talks about the ease and it talks about the steps. Now, it almost seems like the nobleman found the gospel by accident. He just happened to be reading, and all of a sudden there happens to be a Christian beside the road. And the Christian asks him, "Do you understand?" It almost seems like it is done all by accident. But brethren, the more we realize it, this was not accidental. In fact, I've said many times, and I will say many times more, if someone is looking for the truth, as this official was, God will make sure that he has an opportunity to hear the truth. Now, let's look at a few facts of interest. From Ethiopia to Jerusalem and back is a round trip of about 3,000 miles. Now, one commentator I read said, well, the Ethiopian was already in Jerusalem for business purposes. It does not say that. He went there to worship God. Now, he was an Ethiopian. He was a Gentile. At the very most, he was a proselyted Jew. And yet he gave up an awful lot of time to go by chariot 3,000 miles in order to study about God. Some Christians today won't even drive across the street. He went 3,000 miles in order to know about God. And this scroll of which he was reading, very costly. He spent a lot of money. He spent a lot of time. He wanted to know about God. And God made sure he had that opportunity. Now, maybe he purchased the scroll in Jerusalem. I don't know. Maybe something was said in Jerusalem, maybe by another Christian, that perked his interest. I don't know. But for some reason, it almost seems accidental, but for some reason, God gave him the opportunity to find the plan of salvation, and he took advantage of that opportunity. Now, talking about his dedication, as I alluded a moment ago, one, because he was a eunuch, he would not be allowed to worship in the temple. Two, because he was a Gentile, he would not be allowed to worship in the temple. This is from Deuteronomy 23. He would have had to stay in the outer court, but he was still willing to do that in order to develop some type of relationship with Jehovah. Now, some of the other commentators went to great lengths, and I agree with them. He must have known something about God. I'm going to say Jehovah in this respect. He must have known something about Jehovah. He made a 3,000-mile round trip to Jerusalem to know about Jehovah. But again, if people are looking for the truth, God is going to make sure they have that opportunity. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, if we search for him with all of our heart, we will find him. Now, as we get further into the lesson, I want you to remember two parables that were told by Jesus. And I think both of these parables have a bearing on our understanding of this conversion story. The first of them is the parable of the pearl of great price. If you remember that parable, I know that you do, this pearl merchant had searched far and wide to find this particular pearl. He was looking for this particular pearl, and when he found it, there was nothing holding him back. He wanted to purchase that particular pearl. The other parable is about the man that found the treasure hidden in the field. The pearl merchant was deliberately looking. The other man found the treasure by accident. But both of them gave up anything they needed to in order to obtain that. I think both of those stories play a part in our understanding. I think to a certain extent, the nobleman was certainly looking for something. But it's almost like he just stumbled on it. Regardless, though, he was willing to listen to the truth. Now, since most of us know this story forward and backward, I want to venture out and make some random application. First of all, many people, most people, and even some Christians, just have a difficult time understanding the Scripture, grasping the teaching of the Scripture by themselves. Rather than think back to the time that you were first interested in the Bible, I'll bet you have a whole lot better understanding, a whole lot better ability to understand now than you did then. And I would imagine if you're like me, when you think back, there was someone, maybe several someones, that helped you understand. That's what the nobleman was. He wanted to understand. You know, in the book of Galatians, in fact, one of the verses we read this morning talks about Christians that are more spiritual or more mature than others. Brethren, those of you who are more mature have a responsibility to help those that are less mature. There's also some consistent teaching in the New Testament about Christians desiring the sincere milk of the word. The milk much easier to digest than the meat. At one point or another, all of us had to demand the milk. But we need to progress beyond that. And if someone has a difficult time progressing beyond that, we have the responsibility of helping them know that. I think it's possible that people can know the Bible without really developing a relationship with God. And I'm not talking about the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament. They certainly did not have a relationship with God. They knew the Scripture. I think it's possible without some help to know the Scripture and still not develop this relationship with God. And that's why I am constantly encouraging people to get involved in our Bible classes. Keith does a wonderful job. Ann does a wonderful job providing good, qualified, mature teachers. We do the best we can in the auditorium class. That's why I'm constantly encouraging our congregation to bring your children to Bible class. Come yourself to Bible class. I will assure you, we learn a whole lot more Bible in our Bible class setting than we do in the preacher setting. Don't tell the preacher, though, that I said that. There is just nothing wrong with asking questions. I do it myself all the time. The problem is some Christians are just satisfied with the milk. We cannot be that way. Some Christians are too busy to get beyond the milk. And that's why God has to be our number one priority. Now, I think this official represents a lot of people who are very religious. I think there are a lot of people that read their Bible every day. They pray every day. They're looking for God every day. But just like that pearl of great price, they just haven't found it yet. Someone needs to help them. And brethren, we need to be that someone. We need to help people find what you and I have already found. Now, another characteristic of this nobleman, this seeker of truth, he was willing to listen. Brethren, there are just some people that are unwilling to listen. It's even been said about me, though I deny it, that I was unwilling to listen. He was willing to listen. Philip asking, "Do you understand?" He said, "No." Who was the scripture talking about? I'm asking you. Who was the scripture talking about? Did he learn that it was talking about Jesus from his Ethiopian religions? No. Did he learn it in Jerusalem, studying under Judaism? No. A Christian needed to contact him and tell him that the person talked about was Jesus. He needed some help. Philip gave him that help. The Ethiopian nobleman was ready to learn. He just needed someone to help him. And brethren, I'm saying we need to be that someone. We need to be eager to help. And if we have to put our personal ambition or our personal time on the back burner to help them, we have to do it. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something, and it's a little out of the ordinary, so if you don't feel comfortable doing it, don't do it. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes or at least focus on the back of somebody's head so you can really, really focus. I want you to envision everybody in the entire world, all 7 billion plus people in the entire world. Now, I want you to eliminate all of those that you do not know. And now I want you to eliminate those who are faithful Christians. And now I want you to list the ones in your mind who might be interested in studying the Bible. And now narrow that field to the ones that are probably interested in studying the Bible. And now I want you to think of one person that you really believe wants to study the Bible. Now, let's pause for 3 seconds. I want you to say a silent prayer for that person, their conversion, and I want you to include yourself in that prayer. Lord, help me help them find Jesus. Now, tomorrow, I want you to say a much more detailed prayer about that person again. I want you to include yourself in that detailed prayer. Lord, help me find someone to study with. Help me be the instrument that will bring someone to the Lord. And as soon as you finish that prayer tomorrow, I want you to call them. Or I want you to go see them. And I want you to tell them, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your conversion. And I would love to study the Bible with you. Okay, you can open your eyes again. Once upon a time, there were two men talking. One of them asked the other, "Are you an authority on the Bible?" And the man he asked said, "Well, I thought I was until I met a man who had actually read the Bible." Brethren, all of us can be an authority if we've never read the book. But we need to be authority with God's grace by reading the book. I really believe with all of my heart that there are people out there that are willing to listen, that they want to listen. And maybe there's even a few out there that are saying, "Why has my friend not come by and asked me to study the Bible?" So as they rode along, they came to a body of water. And the nobleman said, "See, here's water. You must have taught me about water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, I think all of us would agree that this nobleman was a very religious man even before his conversion. I'm sure he thought his religion was good. I'm sure he was very comfortable with it. I'm sure he agreed with the customs and the theology of it. I'm sure it led him to a degree of higher morals. I'm sure it benefited his life. But he was willing to give it up for the truth. Just like we did at one time. We gave something up for the truth. And brethren, he was willing to give up something good for something great. And that is that Jesus died for our sins. And our lesson is a challenge to take this story of the official and apply it to our lives. Let's imitate Philip. Let's look for that opportunity. You say, "Well, Philip received an invitation by an angel sent from God. So if every one of us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." All of us have received that same commission. We need to take advantage of it. Now, maybe there's someone even here tonight that's ready to accept this primary principles of the gospel. I'll assure you, over the years, everyone's heard the truth. If you're ready now to put the truth into action, you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then be ready to repent of your sins and confess his name before men. Be ready to be baptized for the remission of those sins. You'll arise to walk in newness of life. I will assure you, you, like the nobleman, will go on your way rejoicing. So if tonight anyone needs to respond, really for any reason, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?